Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And before we get to the seminar last night, it was so much fun. But before that, Doug McBurney, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, Bob.
Doug, we got some news stories. I think we should start out with the news before we give people an update on our seminar.
Well, have you
downtown.
Seen the headline from the World Health Organization?
Have you seen the headline?
All humanity is under threat. This headline just hit this morning.
From the swine flu?
I'm not sure. It says that the WHO...
All of humanity is under threat.
I think
that they probably finally read the book of Revelation.
Folks up there at the World Health... Do you think they allow the Bible on the premises of the World Health Organization?
Plagues. A biblical...
Pestilence.
Judgment from God is coming, but it's... Probably not this current swine flu.
Probably not.
But this is some heading. All of humanity under threat. They're finally taking the gospel seriously.
Yeah, and you know what? Even without pestilence and war and hellfire sent down from heaven from God or whatever, that Revelation stuff.
Yeah.
Even aside from all that, I recently read a poll that 10 out of 10 people die.
No, 10 out of 10?
Yeah, there was a recent poll that... Ten out of ten.
10 out of 10 die, and so we should realize that we will stand before God.
Yeah.
We will, and it's best to get ready now.
Amen.
To get ready right now. Charles Darwin.
Is there a vaccination?
For death?
Well, for the threat.
For Judgment Day.
For Judgment Day, is there a vaccine?
Yes, there is. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's a blood-borne treatment.
Oh,
a blood-borne cure for the guilt that will send you to eternal separation from God. Because heaven, if God said, okay, I've become a liberal, I'm going to let everybody into heaven.
Yeah, why can't he do that?
Then everyone who hates him, the way they hurt one another, they hurt themselves, they mock God, they would do the same thing in heaven. There's no different. You can't force a woman to love a man. Could you do that? Do you have the ability to do that?
No, I can barely force my wife to tolerate,
let
alone.
Right.
But you're right.
You can't force a woman to love a man, and God could not force Israel to love him.
Can he just do like one of those genie things where he crosses his arms and blinks, blink, and just make everything?
Yeah, God cannot force America to love him. Love is volitional. It's freely given. And so Charles Darwin couldn't understand all this stuff. And he said, look at this. Christianity teaches that you'll be eternally separated from God. He said, if that were true, my father, my brother, me, all my friends, we're all going to hell.
Yeah.
It's like that's one thing he got right in his autobiography. he did get that right, but God provided the way so that we could live with him forever, but he doesn't force himself on us.
Yeah.
He's not an unhealthy God.
And he doesn't have the ability to magically make
God is God.
Up.
He's not a magician. Mm. You know, people misunderstand. Our seminar last night, we had so much fun. But, you know, all things are possible with God. That doesn't mean that God could click his fingers and make a duplicate God. Now we have two gods. Or then he could multiply. We have 8 gods. 16 gods. And they're all this. It's not magic. Even Christians get confused into thinking that God is a magician. He's not a magician. He doesn't operate counter to reality.
Mm. A lot of people want a magician rather than an all-powerful creator God to judge them. They'd rather have a magician.
Yeah, right.
And that's sad. But, it's times like this when a pandemic is on the, possibly. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know. I have a feeling.
I don't know either. But it was exaggerated at first, wasn't it? Now it's
like
the swine flu.
No. Well, they've
because
stopped.
They
the
said
swine
there were
flu.
They said there were over 100 people who had died in Mexico. Then they said now it was 7, and I don't know the last few days.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. 24 hours.
Now, the bad news on that is that those 160, they are dead. They didn't die from swine flu.
Yeah, so they're still...
That clarification doesn't help them in any way.
No.
No.
It doesn't. And they're either in heaven or hell right now.
Yeah.
And they were here just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that is... I mean, we all one day will meet our Maker. We will all see God.
Mm-hmm.
And either you will see him having humbled yourself and thanked him for your existence and asked him to forgive you for your sin, for hurting other people,
mm-hmm.
or you will see him in rebellion against him, saying, who are you to tell me how I should live? That was Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
He was angry.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll have Fred Williams on Real Science Friday.
All right.
And next Friday, too. In fact, there's a meeting coming up in Denver of the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Yes, yes. I got a notification about it.
A week from tomorrow, here's a preview. They're going to preview a brand new major film on Charles Darwin made by creationists.
Oh.
Here in Denver.
All right.
People are going to want to go. But I have a conflict. I have a jury trial that day.
Oh, yeah?
I'll talk about it next week. We've talked about it in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
AmericanRightsAliveAction.com. You could read all about it.
We'll have to send someone in your stead if you are indeed on trial.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Trials and tribulations.
And tribulations. And it's times like these when there are tribulations, either real or perceived, mm-hmm. that make people stop and think about their eternal soul and their eternal destiny. Because I've found that the definition of civil discourse in the modern culture is to avoid acknowledging the fact that we're going to die. Mm. Live your whole life and never acknowledge that and never face that, and everyone will think you're nice. And you'll get along with everybody. And you'll never have problems with people. But as soon as you start bringing up the fact that there's an afterlife, there's a judgment day, and we're all going to die, people get very uncomfortable.
The two things you should never talk about, religion and politics, in polite company.
Right.
And actually, that's completely false.
Yeah.
And the conservatives who own the airwaves for the most part, talk mm-hmm. radio, they realize that half of that was wrong. So they talk about politics.
They talk about politics.
And they get huge ratings.
They do well.
They don't talk about God. And as a result, their political views have no moral foundation. And they pretty much end up being just as destructive as the liberals that they're competing against.
Hmm.
They don't know.
Yeah.
They just make it up as they go. Like Bill O'Reilly saying, marriage is not a right, it's a privilege. So like the government could tell two young people who are engaged, you know what, we decided you can't get married.
Uh-huh.
It's just bizarre.
Well, I don't think. Where does Bill? Well, I guess when you're
where
trying
does he
to
get
avoid,
it?
Yeah. Well, he wants to avoid
God.
Ultimately,
he wants to avoid God. God is the one who instituted marriage between a man and a woman. It is a right. You do have a right to be married.
Yes, you do.
Now, you may violate the principles of marriage. You can't marry a close relative. You can't do that. You can't marry something from another species.
Not yet.
Not yet. But it's coming in Iowa.
Oh, I've got a story here from Iowa.
Iowa doesn't say partner one and partner two.
No, it doesn't.
Iowa says subject A and subject B. Subject B could be what? Couldn't it be a pet?
Well, I suppose
subject
if you have a good
B?
Enough lawyer, you could make the case.
Yeah, I think Christians should go in Iowa and marry their pets. I think they should do it.
Now, listen, that brings me to a headline here. Dozens of gays are crossing the state line into Iowa, and they don't mean happy people when they say gay. No, they don't mean happy people. They mean homosexual.
Homosexuals.
They're crossing in. I've got a quote from one particular homo. He says, quote, "It's a whole different world when you cross the river." He's crossing the river from Omaha, Nebraska into Iowa. Now, listen to this, Bob.
Yeah,
This is...
Hey,
ridiculous.
You know, I guess when homosexuals have called into this show, 500 times, and they speak with that phony homosexual lisp.
That lisp,
and I tell them, I say, look, talk like a man, otherwise I'm going to hang up on you. And so they talk like a man.
They do.
And then what happens, they get into the argument and they relapse into the phony homo lisp.
Yeah, yeah,
so
right.
We say, don't do that. And then they stop. So I guess if they do it, I guess, go ahead.
It's okay for us to do
story?
It. We're supposed to celebrate it, right?
We used to sell a kit for like those bandages, those ace bandages for around your wrist.
To strengthen the wrist?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we sold them pretty cheaply, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a brace and an ace bandage.
Yeah, and if you needed to get it for someone in your family, we would even give a discount for it.
That's
right. So that you could help out a family member. But listen to what this one particular homosexual who's going from Omaha to Iowa there to get married.
Yeah.
One of the reasons he said he had emergency gallbladder surgery last year, and he was worried that his partner wouldn't be able to see him in the hospital. And now he knows when he goes to Iowa, he won't have to worry about that anymore.
Mm. And so, you know, there's 10,000 reasons that people can give to justify wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we owned blacks, human beings, as slaves, there were 10,000 reasons why abolition was the worst thing in the world. 10,000 reasons why you needed to own blacks. 10,000 reasons why they couldn't carry a weapon. The Supreme Court ruled back then, if we acknowledge that blacks were people, then they would have the right to carry a gun wherever they go. The Supreme Court ruled that in a majority opinion.
Well, I think because back then you pretty much had the right to everyone who was a person.
Yeah, yeah. And you know how the liberals say the Supreme Court has never acknowledged that the Second Amendment indicated that you have the right to personally own and carry a weapon?
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, they were wrong.
I'm not.
Chief Justice Taney. T-A-N-E-Y.
Oh, I'm going to look that up.
And it's incidental, too. It just showed they're incidental. They knew.
Right. It was understood.
Even
right?
According, God gives us the right to protect ourselves, defend ourselves. But even the Constitution acknowledged you have the right to keep and bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that applied to individuals. Of course.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, Iowa is
being
Iowa's
overrun.
In big trouble.
It's being invaded. It's being overrun, and I guess they're getting exactly what they deserve over there.
Well, the whole country, really. When you kill your children, the way we do in America, it's just open season on children, killing children. 80% of Down syndrome kids are murdered.
Yeah.
And the millions of children that are killed every day, every hour, every moment, a baby is being killed by Planned Parenthood. And so do we deserve economic prosperity? I don't think we deserve it.
No, I think we've somehow stumbled into it without deserving it.
If we went back to the 1930s in Germany and we talked to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and we said, okay, Germany has begun slaughtering their patients. They're killing 100,000 Germans in hospitals and homes for children, for handicapped kids and so on. Does Germany deserve, and they pass some really bad economic laws, does Germany deserve prosperity? I think he'd say no.
No.
We don't deserve prosperity.
No.
And so that's what's happening in America. We slaughter the innocent, but we're more upset that the government is robbing us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's rise up against the injustice of murdering children, and then we'll have some legs to stand on to say, oh, and by the way, stop robbing me.
Yeah,
if you don't care that they're murdering your neighbor, how dare you squawk about their taxing you too highly?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And you know, it kind of goes to it reminds me that the liberals, they're so angry at God all the time.
Yeah,
but He has created this existence that we're in that is so resilient that even in the state of rebellion that our culture is in today.
Mm-hmm.
Even in this advanced state of rebellion and wickedness,
we're
still enjoying relative economic prosperity.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen people starving in the streets yet.
No.
We haven't had a pandemic sweep through and wipe out a third of the nation.
No.
And, I mean, if you read the Bible, the type of wickedness that our country is involved in the Western world in general.
It leads to that.
That's the kind of stuff that you see happen.
It leads to that. And
so they should be thanking God for His grace and mercy every day. Which I do.
That He hasn't destroyed us yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christians are susceptible, like everybody is, to just silly conclusions. And so if there's a hurricane, Christians will say that was God's judgment.
I remember that with Katrina because, you know, the French Quarter and all that.
The French Quarter. Well, and because they had Southern decadence.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The homosexuals, 20,000 homosexuals
marching
going
through
down
the streets.
Yeah. Well, the earthquake in California and this and that.
Right.
The weird thing is when God gives a judgment, everybody knows that God gave the judgment.
Yeah.
It's not. Now, Katrina was a disaster, but it was a it a judgment of Southern decadence? The French Quarter survived.
That's right. It didn't. It got like a 3/4 of an inch of water or something.
Yeah, the Southern decadence, it was missed by a week.
Right.
So God wouldn't have bad aim.
No, he would hit his target.
Yeah, so Katrina was simply a result of climactic conditions.
Natural forces.
At the time. Yeah. And Al Gore saying the earth is warming, Katrina is just the beginning, we're going to have increased 30% increased hurricanes next year, you know, batten the hatches, and there were no
There were none that year.
There were none, and I think this past year, too. It's like, where have all the hurricanes gone?
Well.
So they're making stuff up. So Al Gore is an end-of-the-world doomsayer prophet.
And he also is heavily invested into the carbon credits. I think he owns the company. He's going to do really well.
And is it really illegal for us to sell carbon credits?
I don't see why.
Because BEL printed up carbon credit certificates.
Really? You did.
And I just don't understand why it would be illegal for us to sell carbon credits.
I'm all for it.
If Al Gore can, why can't we?
He started his company. They just print them up.
We sell them for half price.
Oh, well, there you go. See? I like it. Let the free market decide.
Yeah. It's just a massive tax. If you want to pollute, you could pollute. You just pay the government more.
Yeah, but if polluting is immoral, how can you just buy your way out of it with some credits? I don't understand that. If it's immoral and it's destroying the planet, it seems like buying the credits is immoral.
It's even worse.
Even worse, because you know you're going to destroy the planet.
Right. If it is immoral like they present
it to be. Yeah.
It would be like if they say you can't lynch a black man unless you buy your lynching credit.
Right.
Your lynching. Like when I speed and I pay a speeding ticket, I accept that. That's like a tax that the middle class pays to be able to drive faster on the roads.
So it's really
fine.
It's like a speeding fee that you have to pay every now and again.
It's a speeding fee. I pay the middle class fee for driving more quickly. And, you know, middle class people could generally afford that, and it might save you 6 hours a year.
Right.
And so it's worth it, you know, depending on what your time is worth.
Yeah, tickets are $100. You know, yeah. You know, if you can save 6 hours a year.
Yeah, but if it really is immoral, if we're killing the planet, killing our children because we're polluting, and the government says, but if you pay us, then you could pollute all you want.
Yeah.
It's just a scam. And liberals are so stupid. You know, where does sin and stupidity, where do they cross?
Where do they intersect?
Yeah, what's the boundary, the threshold between sin and stupidity? And what do we have to fear more, Barack Obama's wickedness or his lunacy? Which?
Well, he doesn't seem to be generally incompetent as an administrator.
Oh, I think he is.
You think?
Well, as an administrator?
I mean, he's trying to get things done.
I got to take that back. He can administer.
He's at least getting the ball rolling on a number of things.
That's true. But there's sheer lunacy.
Insanity.
I mean, I think there's a good argument to be made that the 1930s, the misery lasted for so long because of the government spending out of control.
Yeah.
And that was a key factor in the delay of the recovery, worldwide delayed economic recovery, because the government was irresponsible.
I think so.
And if that's the case, if that analysis is correct, we're doing the same with...
We're doing the exact same thing, but with like 100 times the money.
Far more gusto.
Way more.
You know that sign at the Tea Party in Denver? Don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, a national debt of $250 billion is something that is a possibility. That could be.
A quadrillion, you said.
Quadrillion.
Okay,
because eventually.
I'm homeschooling my daughter, and we've
what
we've
comes after a trillion?
We've gotten to a trillion, and I wasn't sure what came after a trillion. To be honest with you, I hadn't considered it.
Yeah. So trillion, quadrillion,
Okay.
Quintillion, sextillion, septillion. No.
Octillion, I suppose.
Nontillion,
stop.
Decillion.
No, don't let these people know.
Googleplex.
A Googleplex. Yeah.
Now we all know Google.
We all know Google. I thought that's where their name came from, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it is where. They just spelled it wrong.
Oh, they misspelled it.
It's like Oprah. Same thing. All right. So where were we with the news?
Well, as you were just speaking about stupid liberals, and I have another Biden alert, a Joe Biden alert. Now, yeah. You'll remember earlier when the administration first took office, we were certain that there would be a Biden update every day.
Every day.
Because when you talk about stupidity and liberalism, Joe Biden is the intersection.
Pull the hair plug on this guy.
Yeah, he's the intersection. Yeah. Pull the hair plug. But apparently they've buried Joe Biden so deep that you can't find him with a GPS. I think they're keeping him under the White House. But somehow he got on the Today Show and he warned people not to get on planes. And now he's come out and his office has apologized.
He's a lunatic. Don't get on planes. Do you remember during the campaign? He was walking across the street on camera with an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm not too old. I could still get it on. I have a bus. Anybody want to take a ride?" I mean, that's
get
a verbatim quote.
And
during the campaign. In reference to, he's a lunatic. I mean, he's a blithering idiot lunatic.
And he's the vice president of the United States.
Let's try to take a call.
You want to try to take a call?
In Denver, Colorado. Jim, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Am I on?
Yes,
you're on,
sir.
Jim.
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Thank God.
That must be some kind of judgment. your call must have been judged worthy.
Go right ahead, Jim.
Okay, Bob, I don't know. I don't want to go against God, and I don't want to be, you know, sinning here. But Bob, you're a fool, and you're ignorant.
Oh well, Jim, I will listen. I'll listen to your accusation. Please go right ahead.
And okay, calling Bob a fool is going against not God.
Okay,
right. So you know, we understand.
I could be a fool because
you could be.
I have been a fool.
You're being ignorant when you say that Christians are being silly about saying that Katrina was a judgment from God when it clearly was.
Okay, what is your reason for saying that? And then I'll give you my reason for saying that it was not.
Okay, Katrina was a clear judgment from God for what America did in Israel, causing Ariel Sharon to flip-flop and evict the Gush Katif. And
okay.
Hurricane Katrina, wait a second, Hurricane Katrina was created in the Atlantic around the exact time when the Gush Katif was being evicted.
Jim, I understand
your
point.
The storm hit New Orleans, and there are so many parallels to the storm and what happened to America compared to what happened to the Jews that were evicted out of Gush Katif. You're ignorant.
All right, Jim.
You're ignorant.
Hey, Jim, do you want to talk or do you not?
Jim, that was a very clear statement of your position. Now let Bob respond.
Yeah, okay. All right, Jim, Katrina killed, for the most part, children, the elderly, the poor. That's who Katrina killed. The homosexuals got away scot-free. The French Quarter got away scot-free. Okay, so God targeted the kids and the elderly and the poor.
No, he didn't target
because
them at
of
all.
Washington.
He judged America.
Okay, now.
You're being ignorant.
Now.
Bob, you are.
All right, Jim, calm down. We could talk about it. Even if I'm wrong, Jim.
You twist
Jim,
things around.
Jim, even if I'm wrong.
Your reasoning and your talk is twisting things.
All right,
you twist
Jim.
Things all the time, and it's sickening.
All right, Jim.
You are misleading the lambs of God.
All right, even
if. You are misleading God's lambs.
Okay, Jim, even if I'm wrong, we could still.
You're misleading God's lambs.
Jim, we could talk about it.
Even
so,
if you're misleading God's lambs.
Our board op is far too tolerant.
All right, let's put him on hold. Let's put him on hold.
You are misleading
we
God's lambs.
We are not going to accept that level of tolerance from you, board op.
Yeah.
Stop.
We're not mad at Jim. We're mad at the board operator.
We're mad at the board op.
No, we're not mad at either. Okay, the Lord said in the Gospel of Luke, it's recorded, chapter 13, Doug, I think you know the story. There were two tragedies that occurred, and there were superstitious religious people who thought that these tragedies were a result of God judging people.
Right. The Tower of Siloam fell and killed some people.
Killed 18 people.
18 people.
That's quite a catastrophe.
That's horrible, yeah.
Right? A tower falls in a city. In fact, they just dug up the Pool of Siloam. Archaeologists just 3 years ago, I was having a debate on this very topic.
Yeah.
And with D. James Kennedy's professor of New Testament, Dr. Lamerson, and it's in our debate. The future, is it settled or open?
Right.
What a great debate.
So it was
Dr.
obviously
Lamerson.
Commonly held at that point that the Tower of Siloam fell and as some judgment against Israel
and
for their wickedness.
18 people were killed, and also Pilate had murdered Galileans who were headed to Jerusalem
and mingled their blood with the sacrifice in the temple.
Yeah, not in the temple,
oh,
but
the
they he mingled their blood with the blood of their sacrifices.
Yes, yes.
So Jesus brings up these two tragedies, two current event tragedies, like Jim brings up Katrina.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord said in Luke 13. He said, because there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Your Live that you would like to silence anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so Jesus answered to them and said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no.
Mm.
And then he said, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. And then he went on to tell people, get your own house in order. Get your own house in order.
Mm-hmm.
So when we as Christians, when we see a tragedy and we attribute it to God, if God didn't do it, if we don't have authority from God to tell people God sent that lightning bolt and killed that child,
right,
and we say that God killed that child, then we are misrepresenting God. And in the Bible, the Lord got upset at that.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't like it when people misrepresented him. In fact, he said, if a prophet misrepresents me, I'd like him to be put to death.
So we need to be careful.
Yeah. We don't have the authority from God to attribute catastrophes to the Lord without the Lord affirming that this is his judgment.
Amen.
So, and we can be pretty creative. You know, there are catastrophes, earthquakes, fires.
All the time.
Storms. Murders, mm-hmm, all the time, construction failures, and we could take anyone and tie it to any number of look at World War II and America turning our back on the Jews in Germany,
mm-hmm,
and we were the victors. We won the world. Why would we win the world for turning our backs? Let's go back to Denver.
Before we go back to Jim, I want to clarify that at the time of the eviction of the Jews from Gaza, I was against that. I think that was a mistake on the part of the Israeli government. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
Jim, you're there.
Too. Go ahead, Jim.
That was complete wickedness that America did in that case, causing Ariel Sharon to flip-flop and corrupt him.
Yeah, we agree with
that,
Jim.
We agree with that.
That stuff was wicked.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Jim, we've done so many wicked things. We murdered 50 million of our own kids.
Bob.
We sacrificed them on the altar to Baal.
Bob, I have tried to reach you by letter. You
That's
will not
fine.
Address me. You will not answer me back.
Jim, I love you as a brother.
You
I get 1,000 emails and letters and calls a week.
Bob,
I don't have the ability.
You are afraid to address what I tell
Jim,
you.
I invited you on the show. I bring you back.
No,
I'm not afraid.
You don't answer me when I write you, Bob.
Jim,
don't address what I tell you. Do you understand that God is judging America and that we're about to be destroyed because of our wickedness?
No, I don't. But
well,
if the Lord does,
ignorant.
If the Lord
you are ignorant
does,
and you're misleading the children of God.
Well, we may be destroyed because of our wickedness. I'm not going to argue with that. That is possible.
That is absolutely possible. All right.
Because of what we've done against Israel, we are going to be destroyed for that.
Jim, I want to thank you for your call.
You are ignorant.
All right. Okay, so
we're almost out of time.
I would love to spend more time with Jim and to respond to his letters. When I send a letter to Mike Rosen on KOA, which I do rarely, I don't expect that he's going to reply to me because he has a radio show.
And he gets a lot of letters.
And there are 4,000 people a month who would like him to reply to them.
Yeah, but we love Jim and we invite him back.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Doug, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you.
The seminar last night at the Brown Palace, hermeneutics, it was so great. We had such a fabulous time.
We'll have to do it again.
And we got it on CD, so get it from us in Maranatha. What a great school.